Want to know how to create a podcast series that will attract, engage, nurture, and convert more clients for your business? We're breaking it down today, right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I'm Todd Genetassi, along with my co-host, Amber Furman. Amber, what is going on?
I am so glad you're back because you do that so much better than I do.
Yeah, but you know, I like to hear you, you know, get in the seat there once in a while, give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, it was a good change of pace for sure.
Yeah. I thought you did a good job. And it just goes to show, I mean, you have hundreds of episodes under your belt between this and your other show, More Than Corporate. And plenty of guest appearances places and you still feel like slightly uncomfortable about certain things, just like introing a show. And so for everybody out there who feels the same way, we all feel it. Even the pros like Amber, you know, it doesn't always go completely away, you know,
ever. You know, I think, I don't remember whether I was watching a movie or a show or whether it was real life, they kind of run together sometimes. But I remember hearing somebody say before they went on stage, like, if it doesn't make you nervous, you should stop doing it. Like, if you don't get those butterflies, if you're not excited about it anymore, then you should stop doing it. Because I think that there's always something that goes on in a show that either wasn't what I planned or that I'm like excited and kind of butterfly-y about. Yeah. And that's a new word if you're keeping track
butterfly-y.
Of the dictionary. Butterfly-y. Yeah, it can go there with interpretate and whatever else we have on our list. So, that's one of the things that I love so much going into this topic that we're talking about today. It's one of the things that I love about podcasting is the imperfect nature of it and the way that it allows you to connect with people in a completely different level. And that's gold when you're a business owner.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. When I saw a commercial or Instagram clip of something, a promo for a new improv show that's on Netflix with, what's the guy's name from Silicon Valley, Middle Stitch and I don't know, whatever, but they have an improv show and it's like literally the two guys, they go up, they take words from the crowd and they're, you know, doing funny stuff on stage, blah, blah, blah. And like that stuff, if you're into it, is hilarious.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it and what got me thinking around what you're saying about having a podcast as a marketing channel is when we sit down, if we were to go into a movie theater to go watch a movie and it was an improv, we'd be like, oh my God, that was terrible.
Horrible.
It was so obviously poorly planned. They didn't know what they were doing and blah, 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 blah. But when we go in with the frame of like, we're going into a 2-hour show that's live and improv, they do the same exact thing and it's hilarious. You're into it. You're engaged. And I think, you know, that's what's great about having a podcast, that you can be imperfect. You can be conversational because this medium of communication allows for that to happen. And it, you can be more comfortable even if you're uncomfortable, because the expectations of people listening is, oh, I'm listening to someone having a conversation. I'm not listening to someone reading a prepared script from a very polished, you know, 6-month preparation type of thing.
Yeah. And even when I am, it's amazing the blooper reels that come out and started getting put out, because they're my favorite part of shows sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll watch a show and then I just want to know from a creative standpoint what went into making that show that polished, because I know dang well that it was not that done on the first try. And then where it gets really cool is when you do a show and then somebody listens to it and they're like, man, that was amazing. How much did you prepare? And you're like,
yeah. Homer Simpson backing into the bushes.
Right, backing into the bushes, sinking. So I'm hoping it comes back after COVID. I used to go to this show called Nashville Unplugged, and it was a Songwriters in the Round. And when they first started years and years ago, they did songs from a hat. So when you walked in, they would have these slips and you would just put a song title in. And then they always had like these guest songwriters. So it was two hosts and two guests, all songwriters. And the two hosts would leave the guests out there to play songs for maybe like 30 minutes in the middle of the show. And they would go back and they would spend like 20 minutes writing this song from a hat and come out, and it would be
they're writing a new song. I thought you were saying they were, you would go in and like put down like your favorite and then they'd cover a song.
No,
they would make just, up a song.
You would put in a song title and they would pick a song title and they would write that song in 20 minutes and they would come out and they would perform it live. And you're in a, I mean, it was in a bar setting, so people are assholes in a bar setting. And
especially after they've taken the time, you know, you give them too much time in there. While you're writing this, that also puts the time pressure on. You got to get back out before they're too unruly.
Yes, yes, yes. So these song titles were not like easy and they were rarely appropriate. So, but what was so cool is you got to see the talent that goes into creating something creatively and doing it well and doing it imperfect, but perfect at the same time. Yeah. And I think that that's that line that us as podcasters want to get to. We don't want to be so out of it that people are like, man, when did she start doing this? Right. But we don't want to be so perfect that people are like, man, I could never do that. I can't relate to her.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's something I heard, I forget what I was reading or listening to, but it was talking about something that helps brands. And this is going to be part of what we talk about today. In planning out a podcast series that will engage and nurture your audience is that people, they like brands that are more human and more approachable. And when you come from that more polished and professional too buttoned up, depending on your industry, like you're going to come off as not approachable to people. And so actually being more professional looking could actually be a detriment in a lot of industries.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my absolutely favorite stories is the Charlie Jabbily Nike story. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not. That name doesn't ring a bell. So.
So, I mean, he's known as CEO Charlie, but he was a music producer, Cliff Notes version. You guys can go get the YouTube video if you want to watch it. He was a music producer, ended up leaving the music world because he was completely miserable, started being athletic and decided that one of his goals is he wanted to be in a Nike commercial. And good luck with that. I mean, he was like 375 pounds with a with a brain tumor.
Whoa.
And he got in shape and he had somebody follow him around with a camera and he uploaded it to social media. And at the end, he put insert Nike logo here. And like 3 months later, he was in Nike studios and on a Nike commercial.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's crazy, but it was the imperfect nature of it.
Right.
It was the imperfect human connection of it. So.
Wow. That is, I haven't heard that. Yeah. I definitely got to look that up. Let's put that in the show notes for sure. All right. So let's get into today's topic. And to give our listeners a little more practical and granular work here, we're going to walk through Amber's new coaching offer to create her More Than Corporate podcast series for the new coaching offer that she has. So first of all, I'll just talk through like a little bit what the customer journey is. So just to reiterate, we've talked about this a lot. There's a lot more episodes on airbrands.com/show to dig through the archives and see all the times we've talked about that. But basically, someone is living their regular life as status quo. They're completely unaware that they have a problem. They're unaware of you and all that kind of stuff. And then there's typically a trigger event, which now they're aware that they have a problem. And then they start looking through, Googling, asking, getting retargeted with magical algorithm ads and all that kind of stuff around what problems they have. And now from a customer journey standpoint, you want to take them from being aware. You want to make sure you're getting found in that stage. And then you want to engage them with your content, nurture them, get permission to follow up. Look up Seth Godin, Permission Marketing. Is a great, I'm sure there's a blog post about it. It's a whole book you don't need to read. The gist is like in the modern world, we want to just get permission from people to communicate with them. And we are more likely to have them listen to us and pay attention as opposed to just spamming them and interrupting them. So we want to get them, we want to get permission-based audience, which is basically email list, and engage them with our content and nurture them. And then we want to put them into, when they're qualified, into a sales opportunity. Sales, you know, if you sell stuff online, that's sending them to the product page. If you do it on the phone, getting them on the phone or whatever your sales mechanism is. But we basically want to take people from when they become aware that there's a problem they want to solve. We want to get their permission to build, put them into our audience. We want to engage them and nurture them and then advance them into this sales opportunity stage where you can sell to them appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about permission for just a second, because I think mm-hmm. that this is huge. I'm not a big fan of the DM culture that mm-hmm. we're in right now for marketing. I do acknowledge, though, that there's a place for it and mm-hmm. a way to do it. And it's interesting to me because the last Facebook group that I joined, I had had like 4 or 5 people blind message me and be like, hey, check out this Facebook group and here's the link. And it's like this long message you got to scroll through. And I remember saying to myself, I swear to God, the next person that messages me asking me to join their Facebook group. And then like 3 minutes later, I get this message and the message is like, hey, I've got this Facebook group and this is what we do. And I'm like, crap, this Facebook group sounds cool. But I just said, and so I didn't respond. The person reaches back out to me. And what was really cool is it took 4 messages for me to give them permission to send me the link, but they never sent me their Facebook
group. Oh, they didn't include a link in the first one. Oh.
They never sent me their Facebook group link. They never sent me the name of their Facebook group until I gave them permission to do so. So it's never that first message that feels spammy. It's that first message with spam that feels spammy.
Right.
So you can do this in a way, even if you're in the DM culture, you can do this permission-based marketing in a way that gets permission before you give them any information about your product.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And yeah, you want to qualify people for the stuff that they want, you know, see if they're interested and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. And, you know, we always talk about the length of time of a customer journey and the buying cycle. And Dean Jackson's got some great stuff on this. Andre Chaperon's got some great stuff on this. And they talk about where, like, out of your any given audience, the average person is not going to buy from a brand until about 90 days after their first interaction. And usually it's like within a 2-year window of when you're going to get sales. And I think like in Dean's presentation, he talks about like 50 of your target audience that you get into your engaged cycle. 50% of them will ultimately buy from you over the course of years. 15% of those 50% will buy within 90 days. So 85% of your sales are going to come from people who have been in your ecosystem for more than 3 months, right? And so that's also the importance of a customer journey. Now, this also is, you know, varies depending on industry. Like when you're an attorney and someone needs you in the middle of the night, that buyer cycle is about 20. It's however long is, will you accept the collect call from?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, to put this into perspective just a little bit too, we've talked about being top of mind and we're going to go down kind of that path a little bit today with the email marketing and permission-based marketing. But I have a training coming up starting tomorrow. And I just bought my books for that training. And when I was thinking about who was going to make these books for me, the printer that was top of mind sends me a weekly newsletter with comic strips in it and nothing about printing. And so I was Googling and I'm searching and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, Friday Funnies does printing. And I couldn't even remember the name of his business. I just remembered Friday's Funnies. And then I had to go through and search my Funnies. So this top of mind thing is huge.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, to just kind of articulate something that everybody kind of knows in the back of their head, but you probably don't think about, but like just a quick, like 4 steps of like what's happening from the potential client side, right? Like there's a trigger event where they realize they have a problem that they need to solve, right? So then they start searching on Google or YouTube or asking friends. Obviously people are just constantly scrolling through social media, but at that point is when they're going to see your content, either in search results or in their newsfeed, if you're putting it out in front of them, either organically or you're running paid, whatever. And from there, then they're going to consume your content. They're going to consume your ad. They're going to click over to your website to either consume more content. Like if you're running traffic into your episodes, or like, I like to do the permission part first. So I like to actually build the audience with what we call a lead magnet, something they put their email address in, and then drip out the engagement content, as opposed to, you know, we do it both ways, but I like to do that permission part first, and then drip out content to them. And then once they've been consuming your content and you've got them qualified, they know, like, and trust you and all that kind of good stuff, then that's where you can start presenting them with whatever your product is. This is also why I don't like launch style businesses, because if you launch once or twice a year, then you're not really available for people based on when they need your solution. You're kind of dictating it for them, which I don't really love.
What I really like about the way that you put your marketing together is that it provides a way for all of these other styles of businesses to work within. Mm. So if you have a launch style business, you can do a launch within an already established email and marketing campaign. Yeah. But you can't do that if you don't have an email marketing campaign. The same thing with DMs. If you decide that you want to try this direct messaging route of marketing, you can do that. And it's going to be stronger if you have an email-based marketing set up to be able to move them into. So I think that your style of marketing provides for so much flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, it's just having an audience. You know, when you have people that know, like, and trust you, then you're going to be able to do things. And don't get me wrong, when you have something new coming out, you can launch it to people, right? Like, you have a new coaching offer, so you're going to announce it to people, whether it's one announcement or a whole campaign. It is a launch. What I'm talking about, the people where, like, you can only buy my product for 3 days a year.
Yes.
Like, that's the launch. That's what I don't love, those types of things. So it's like, you can run a launch, but then just, you know, keep it available for people as they find you and need you. So what does that, like, actual content funnel look like? So one, we always want to begin with the end in mind. So, like, whatever the sales offer is going to be. So as we walk through this with practical examples, like, just give us, like, elevator pitch, 20 seconds of, like, what is your coaching offer that we're reverse engineering our content series here for?
For the, I want to make sure that I'm staying on the right point, for the customer journey side of things.
So as we practically walk through the content that's needed at these different stages, I want to just give a practical example of your business over at successdevelopmentsolutions.com. So you have a sales offer and you have a lead magnet with your life wheel goal planner, right? So, like, what, as we work backwards to that, what's the 20-second elevator pitch for your coaching offer? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I know, you really are. Not that we haven't talked about this 100 times. Coaching offer is really designed to take people from where they are now to where they want to go. But the real problem is that where they are now is where they thought they wanted to go, and they can't figure out why it doesn't feel right. So it's helping them, you know, they're in where you're talking about, that customer journey. They're in that problem aware and almost solution aware, but they keep realizing, like, man, I worked so hard to get here. Right? I worked so hard to get here. This has to be what I wanted. So that whole feeling.
Yeah. And so to help people with that, you created this awesome goal planner that you call it the life wheel, or I want to give proper credit to where this life wheel idea came from.
Oh God, I don't know. It was introduced to me as a life wheel, but it's floated around so many times.
So you have this awesome thing. It's over at successdevelopmentsolutions.com/life wheel for anybody listening that wants to set it up, check it out. It's a free download. It's a worksheet that, you know, it helps with goal planning, smart goals, and in a way that I hadn't seen. So if the life wheel thing is not from you and your coaching branch, like, it's not something I've seen popularized yet. I like it a lot.
Well, I mean, I took the life wheel, which was given to me by my coach when I first started working with her, but the way that I've put it together in that website and that worksheet
PDF,
is completely unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as I know, cool. I've never seen it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So for anybody who's really struggling to kind of break through and it's time to really set some different type of goals that are going to be more fulfilling, like, this is the kind of thing that you need to learn how to set your goals differently. So you can get this free worksheet. And that's the lead magnet that you're really driving people into and then nurturing them into, hey, if now you have a little bit of clarity on the direction you want to go to, how are you going to get from there to here? Or from here to there, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you hire Amber for, right? So you want to start attracting people based on their trigger events, right? So a couple of things that you want when you're planning out a podcast series, and you want to start with that attraction, right? Like, in that awareness stage, how can you make sure that your ideal clients are finding you and that you're visible? And the goal here, again, is getting people to know that you exist and start consuming your content. So a couple of different types of content you want to have in this attraction phase is hot topics and questions in that audience. And there's two different ways. Like, when we say hot topics, like, immediately you think about, like, oh, something that's timely. That's not necessarily true, because most of the time, depending on your business, it's not calendar based, right? Like, if you're a baseball coach, it's timely right now, hot topic that you're preparing for baseball season. But like, if you're not in that type of business, the timeliness and hot topic is not because of the date in the calendar, but rather the timing of their experience with the problem. So keep that in mind, right? So when people are having this trigger event where they become problem aware, what are the hot topics and questions they have? That's what you want to think about and make episodes around answering those questions and discussing those type of topics.
Yeah. And on that point, when you're doing this, this is where the willingness to be imperfect, the willingness to be vulnerable, the willingness to go to those pain points is really important. Yeah. I was at an event talking to a marketer trying to figure out very much, how do you cut out the noise? Mm-hmm. And how do you get people to listen to you? And it just happened that we were at a bar having drinks after the conference. And he says, well, I don't know. How did I do it? And I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, I know you're using the word noise figuratively, but you were literally in a noisy bar with all of these options. And you chose to come over here and talk to me because of something that I said. What was it? And I was like, you like touched me to my soul of my pain point. And he's like, yeah. So how deep are you going with your clients? And I was like, shit. So be really like, be willing to go to that painful place for them. Yeah. If you're in a coaching space or a place where those pain points are really emotional, then you need to get more vulnerable. If you're selling sod, maybe, you know, the issue isn't quite as heartbreaking.
Right.
Although I know some people who take their lawn really seriously.
That's true. Yeah. And you're right. And you know, that vulnerability is what creates, like we talked about before, that approachability, right? Like, it's not that you're so perfect that you're not approachable and like, oh, they couldn't understand what it's like to feel this way.
Yes.
Who was I listening to the other day that they had been, coaching people, or I forget exactly what the offer was, but it was something where their results that they were getting people or their business had gone so far into the nine figures that they had to stop talking about the numbers because it became unrelatable. But they knew that it wasn't true. They were relatable to the people that were starting the journey or earlier on in the journey, but they had come so far that their story then became unrelatable. So showing those vulnerabilities and everything, you know, is definitely a better way to create that connection, to cut through the noise. So people do want to follow you and hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And take a minute to really like check with yourself. Here's the mindset side of the way that I handle this. Take a minute to check with yourself and remember what it was like when you were in their position. Because 9 times out of 10, you understand their problem because you've been there, because you solved it for yourself or for somebody else. And too many times what we do as content providers is we talk to the problem from where we are now. Mm-hmm. Instead of to the problem from where our customer is. And so take time to really put yourself back in that spot and remember what you saw, heard, felt, and experienced, and then talk from that space.
Yeah. And I thought you did a great job on your show. I actually texted you on Friday when your solo episode came out. This is over at successdevelopmentsolutions.com. Unlearning Old Habits, which is, let me see if I can pull your number up, episode 246 of the More Than Corporate Show. But it's funny because you had been telling me that you're like, I think, you know, I'm thinking about doing more interview stuff. You know, you do the one interview and one solo. You're like, I want to do more interviews. And I heard that solo episode. I'm like, no way. I'm like, you actually need to be doing more solo episodes because this is the stuff that connects with people and really resonates in telling these stories. And so I think if people want to hear a good example of what you just described, that's the episode 246 on the More Than Corporate Show that you did last week was a really great example of that. I as soon as I heard it, I don't always text you when I listen to episodes, and I did. I was like, yeah, I know this is the stuff you need to start doing more of. So that was really good. But you know, so for the attraction content episodes, hot topics and questions people have based on their current state of awareness, that they just started experiencing the problem, and you want to talk to them about that stuff, and you want to give them a pathway and show them the light on like getting away from their pain, getting them to their desired destination, and helping them solve their problem. That's what you want to do when you're starting to attract people. And you know, based on how you market your business, you want to do some keyword research so that like the titles of your episodes can show up when people are actually literally searching Google, and all that kind of thing. But that's the attraction content, is the hot topics and questions people have when they have that trigger event, help them get away from that current pain, show them the path, and introduce them to the journey that they're about to go on to solve their problem. Then we get into the engage and nurture stage of the content. And the goal here is twofold or threefold, really, is number one, we want to get them to know, like, and trust us. And we want them to become an educated buyer of our product or services. An educated buyer is always going to be a better client. And we want to help advance them into that next stage where they want to take action. So to get people to know, like, and trust you, this can happen in individual episodes, or it can happen in, you can combine these into them. But, you know, one, you want to tell your story so they understand your background. They see how that, you know, you relate to them and they relate to you, knowing that you've been on the journey already and that you're a couple steps ahead and you can help guide them. You're reaching your hand back and pulling them up forward with you. You want to discuss your values so that, again, like, your vibe attracts your tribe. You know, you want to make sure that you're putting out your true personality. This is where being authentic is super valuable for your business, because when you put out the right vibes, you attract those type of people. So when you put out your true self and you show your values, you're going to attract people with those same values. And again, they're going to become great clients because you guys have those same type of values.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also on the educated side of things, so many people used to think in an old method of sales that, you know, just get them to sign, get them to buy, and you'll walk through everything else later. I want my clients to understand what to expect, both on the law firm side and the coaching side.
Yes.
Because I never want that client that calls me like 4 days after they sign a retainer agreement for either business and is like, wait a minute, where are my results? Like, right. Why is this not happening? You can do this through multiple different ways, no matter what your business is. My favorite question to ask clients when we're in this get to know you phase is, what would a successful business relationship look like to you? You know, if we enter into a business relationship, how do you know that's a success? Because that tells you right there everything that you have to do and everything that's important to this client.
Yeah, that's great. And that goes right into the next thing on my list here, which is your methodology. And you want to explain that to people, right? And make sure they understand, what does this process look like? Is that something that they're interested in going through, right? Because if you help people get from, you know, from New Jersey to California, and they want to get to California, that's great. Hey, we got great comfortable seats and all these kind of things. That's awesome. It's like, but it's a train or a bus and it's not a plane, right? Like, you know, you want to make sure that they understand.
Or they're not going to California.
Well, right. Of course. But that's also very important. And then in this part to get, you know, the know, like, and trust is tell customer success stories, bring on customers and clients that to do interviews if you want. But telling the success stories of the before and afters and what their experience was like, and all that kind of stuff, again, like, in a way that becomes relatable and helps people. Because one of the big subconscious objections people have to buying is not really talked about. And that's, they believe in you and your business and your product. They don't believe in themselves to achieve success, regardless of you, right? And so the more you can show, hey, these other clients, I was just like you, our other clients were just like you where you're at, you can do this and we'll help you do it, right?
Yeah. And in order to get to that spot, you know, here's a little tidbit behind the curtain for training for sales. In order to get to the I don't trust myself, you have to get past the time and money objection, because those will always come out first. So if you're out there and you're talking about your product or service and you talk to somebody and they say, oh yeah, I just don't have time or I just don't have money, bullshit.
Yeah.
So you get to figure out what that really is, and you never get to the real answer if you stop there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last two parts that I have here in the know, like, and trust piece of the engage and nurture is sharing industry insights. And so the point of this is not necessarily to make your audience an expert in your industry, that they don't want to be an expert in the industry and all that kind of stuff, but it's to demonstrate your authority and expertise. So whatever those trends are, whatever data is, putting out content that talks about that. So follow some industry news sources that put out data or, you know, news reports, and just pull the headlines or information, and then give your, you know, framework that I like for this, for could be your podcast episode or social posts or emails, anything, any piece of content is like, here's what's happening in the world that's relevant to you. Here's what it means for you. Here's what you can do about it. And then here's how we can help you with it. Right. So you can take any news, any data, any piece of information and use that framework to, you know, demonstrate your expertise and authority, and then help, you know, help the people that are paying attention to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're doing those shows, the way that you just described it is so perfect because you hit every single one of those desires of how deep they want to go. Mm-hmm. And then the people who reach out to you afterwards and say, hey, this really hit for me. I'd love more information on that. Number one, you get to turn that into another episode because I promise they're not the only one.
Yep.
But now's the time that you get to have a conversation with that person and say, okay, before I continue talking to you about this, how deep do you want me to go? How yeah. much do you want to know? Like, too many times in all of the content creation and communication with our clients, we get more stuck on what we want to talk about instead of what they want to hear. Yeah. So really, as you're creating your content and your strategy and your marketing strategy and everything that we're talking about on this episode, think about what your client wants to hear, not what you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the last piece of the Know, Like, and Trust podcast series, and we're gonna have to make this a two-parter, so we're gonna fill out the how to create educated buyers with your podcast and how to convert your audience into actual sales opportunities. We're gonna have to do that next week because we're pushing up on time. But the last piece here in the Know, Like, and Trust content is credibility, which happens with those industry insights, but it also happens through stories about your experiences and stuff. So how can you, through a podcast, say, you know, that you have a certification or credit, or you've been featured somewhere, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we both have certifications out the wazoo and all different types of things, but like, I'm not just going to have an episode and be like, hey guys, welcome this week. I'm certified in these 11 things. So hire me and we'll talk to you later, but rather saying, you know, talk about your experience. You actually did a podcast episode a little while back. Time is an illusion, but it was about you had gone to an event, and it was, you were like, hey, last week I went to a training somewhere or a conference, and like, here was my experience on the travel and what I took away from it. So I think that's a great way to do it is, hey, yeah, I got certified in XYZ, so I can help my clients with something specific, and you know, now I have the credibility to prove it. But here are some key takeaways I got from my learning experience. And so telling stories like that is a way to connect with people while still showing your credibility, or even doing recaps of stuff you've done in other places. So I've been in Forbes a couple times about different topics. And so what I did in my own ads was recapping that and say, like, you know, so grateful to have been featured in Forbes, you know, about email marketing tips. You know, here's four of the major highlights in the article that they published, and it's this, this, and this, you know. And so I'm able to kind of, you know, toot my own horn a little bit, but there's also practical value there. And so telling stories, recapping highlights, and those kind of things are ways that you can, you know, kind of get your credibility in front of people, but without being too, you know, self-centered, braggadocious type of thing.
Yeah. And just to kind of tease what we're going to talk about next week, but also tie it into this topic, this is where, as you're getting your story and your message out and you're promoting your show and you're doing it on social media, you know, especially with TikTok and Facebook being so video based now, and Facebook really focusing on reels, this is where you get to pull somebody aside that you met at a conference and do a quick 2 or 3 minute video talking about something, and then create that into a podcast. I can't tell you how many podcast episodes I've done from a hotel room at an event because there's something I wanted to talk about then. Well, now when you look at your whole marketing strategy that we're going to get into next week, now you get to turn on your camera, be imperfect, post it to social media, tease your podcast, which is then going to tease your product and service, which is then going to increase your know, like, and trust. It's this whole circle.
Yeah. It's a virtuous cycle. And I love it because this is the way to create more value in the world and really expand your own growth and your business growth and your revenue by changing lives and putting more value out into the world. So next week, we will go through how to use your podcast content to create more educated buyers who become better clients, and how to convert your audience into sales opportunities. So make sure you guys are subscribed to the On Air Brand Show on all your favorite podcast platforms, or go to onairbrands.com/show to subscribe with your email. I think we got a free guide for how to promote your content on there as well. And we will catch you next week on part two, and we'll see you then.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brand.